Today on Annenberg Radio News.
I know instantly when they walk in, uh-oh. Okay, they're sitting there in a stupor.
Hear how one woman's job at a nightclub isn't so glamorous. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, April 3rd, 2014. I'm Bryony Ng. President Bill Clinton visited LA today to push for more investment in sustainable infrastructure and alternative energy. He sat down with Mayor Eric Garcetti for a meeting at City Hall. Stephanie Case was there and has this report.
President Clinton, Eric Garcetti, and other public officials met downtown today to talk about how to generate more jobs and protect the environment. Garcetti says the key to both of these things is infrastructure.
Infrastructure is a word to the average American makes people's eyes glaze over. They don't know exactly what it is. But the moment you start talking about potholes, the moment you start talking about streetlights, the moment you start talking about an airport that's crumbling or a port that's not modern, people get it.
President Clinton says the key to protecting the environment is to build city structures that last and are energy efficient. The Clinton Global Initiative is hoping to raise $10 billion to fund solar energy and water projects. Clinton says many are reluctant to invest in sustainable infrastructure based on politics.
We have to make this more attractive and less political. This is basically just a straightforward economic case that happens to save the planet.
Garcetti has helped LA save money and energy through infrastructure initiatives. A recent streetlight project, for example, converted 144,000 lights to LED and cut spending on power by 63%, saving the city millions.
We have to prove it works economically. I'm convinced it is the greatest economic opportunity untapped the United States has.
Other countries have taken even bigger leaps towards energy-saving infrastructure, and it's paid off.
Don't forget, folks, Germany, where the sun shines on average as much as it does in London or Alaska, generated on one day 22 gigawatts of solar power, equivalent of 20 nuclear power plants. That means we are slow on the uptake.
The Clinton Global Initiative will meet again in June, where they will further discuss their goals to action. Stephanie Case, Annenberg Radio News.
While the former President Clinton was talking infrastructure instead, members of Youth Build were celebrating outside. They're marking the first National Youth Build Day. Sam Dawn, tell us what Youth Build is all about.
I got the Youth Build!
Youth Build takes low-income young people and has them build houses while working towards a GED. They also get job skills in industries such as construction. There are now 264 Youth Build programs across the United States.
Come for you, Ohio!
Hundreds of Youth Build members and supporters gathered downtown today, where they commemorated the program and elected officials who have supported it. Since 1994, more than 120,000 Youth Build members have built over 22,000 units of affordable housing. Michael Allen is a student in the Youth Build program.
In Antelope Valley Youth Build, since I've been enrolled, all those dreams that I thought would never be possible for me to achieve are achievable now. Everybody here, should hold on to those dreams that you got. And if you look around us, we're not alone. We could do this all together. We're never alone.
Alan has previously struggled with substance abuse and having a child at a young age. Rossi Johnson, executive director of the Antelope Valley Youth Build, says the program helps put young people on the right path.
It's all about success, all about leadership. We're here to celebrate young people who are young leaders in our community, here to celebrate Youth Build in the LA region, Youth Build around the country, Youth Build around the world.
Though today was a day of celebration, tomorrow the work continues to provide young people a place to learn necessary job skills. Sam Dorn, Annenberg Radio News.
Fast food workers are asking for their wages to be nearly doubled to $15 an hour. Dozens of protests have taken place in cities across the United States. Today, activists made their case, again, for more pay. Lenza Bugali talked to protesters outside a McDonald's in South LA.
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Justice!
Chanting, dozens of fast food workers, organizers, and community leaders raise their voices outside of the McDonald's on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, near Vermont. The workers say their pay isn't a decent wage.
I thought slavery ended a long time ago. When I go to work, I don't go in happy.
A lot of the times we have to do extra work. We do the work of 3 to 2 people.
I'm about to have a daughter, so that's another responsibility for me. And with $8 an hour, I could barely make enough for me.
Higher wages aren't the only thing that protesters want. With almost 4 million fast food workers, they propose unionizing the country. Jose Paz works at this McDonald's. Accompanied by news media and supporters, Paz confronted his manager directly.
Honestly, I was very nervous. It's just that fear of intimidation. Even now, I still fear that he may fire me. This is not just about me. This is for everyone else who is going through worse situations than I am.
Paz's manager refused comment, but one McDonald's customer, who only gave her name as Carla, complained about the protest. She says the answer to a better life isn't higher fast food wages, but higher education.
I really believe that if these kids go and prepare themselves, go back to school, become a lab technicians, x-ray technicians, nurses assistants, and all of them, they don't have to fight. So I think that going to school is the best bet.
But for Jessica Garcia, fast food work is her only option. She says with 2 kids and a husband who is out of work, she has no time to go to school. Statistics show that 70% of fast food workers earn an average of $13,289 a year, a salary that is drastically lower than the average income of $51,017 a year. Rebecca Ronquilla, lead organizer of the Korean Town Immigrant Alliance, says that these discrepancies are unfair because of the important role fast food workers play.
Most of these McDonald's are located in low-income communities. And given that they are such a profitable business, they are not sharing that wealth with the workers, whom are the motor behind the success that they are today.
McDonald's refused comment, but its mission statement says it is committed to continually improving their operations and enhancing its customer service. Lensa Bogala, Annenberg Radio News.
Students in schools with heavy science, math, and advanced placement curricula are more college and career ready, but only a few schools in Los Angeles have this option. As Brianna Sachs reports, one successful magnet school is showing how it can be done.
The Los Angeles Center for Enriched Studies, known as LACES, is the poster child for science, technology, engineering, math, and rigorous curriculum. It offers 27 advanced placement classes. 70% of its students are in more than one, and they're doing really well, which is why a group of education officials from the city, state, and country are touring its blue and white hallways today. Recent studies overwhelmingly show that high school students enriched in science, tech, engineering, and math, known as STEM, are accepted to more successful four-year colleges and get better job opportunities. As State Superintendent of Education Tom Torlakson peeks into one of the science classrooms, he says he wants to get more California public students into schools like this one.
To increase the kind of teaching that we saw here today, it's an important goal because I find that students like science, they like the critical thinking and problem-solving aspect of it, and they, when they find out more about the science, they can find out more about careers that are waiting for them.
LACES was the first magnet school in LA and is now one of the city's most prestigious public schools. But its students come from all over Los Angeles. Almost half are on the free lunch program and don't speak English at home, but over 85% of them are going to four-year colleges. And that's because of the public school's rigorous, unique, STEM-based curriculum, says class president Stefano Rumi, who's attending the University of Virginia in the fall on a full scholarship.
Really, after all, you don't notice that STEM is something that you learn. It becomes almost a way of life. Everything you do and you do in school gets linked back to this worldly perspective, and I truly believe that this is something that that the education system should focus on, because there's always a dichotomy between people, between kids learning things at school and realizing there's nothing for them to do
with it. Like most LA magnet schools, LACES has a long waiting list, and it's way different than the other LA schools who have large access and achievement gap among races. White, middle-income kids are twice as likely to attend schools with a full array of AP courses than kids from lower-income minority families, according to a June study by the Education Trust and Equal Opportunity School.
See, by if we look at students of each ethnic group, students with similar ability levels are not getting similar access to AP.
That's Travis Packer from the College Board's AP program.
So for example, if you look at AP science courses nationwide, 6 in 10 Asian students get into an AP science course, but 3 in 10 African American kids do, all of the same ability level. What is more distressing is that in the majority of cases, for the majority of African American students, the course actually is in their school, but for some reason they're not participating. As we survey those students, they frequently say, I didn't really know what that course was, I didn't feel welcome, I didn't see other kids like me in that class.
Experts say STEM classes can bridge the education and career gap that has plagued Hispanics and African American students for years. It's a simple equation. More STEM classes equals better education that leads to a higher paying job. Here's Packer again.
An African American or Hispanic student to an AP STEM course in high school, you increase their chances of majoring in STEM from 3% to 18%.
Watching about 20 high school juniors bustle around an AP biology lab, messing around with a cup of peas and ice, it's clear that something's different. They are engaged, it's noisy, and it actually looks fun.
You want to see how fast is the carbon dioxide is used during respiration.
It doesn't seem like rocket science. Get more minority and lower-income LA students into rigorous high-level STEM classes, and they will tackle the rest of the problem. Brianna Sachs, Annenberg Radio News.
The commander at Fort Hood said today that the soldier who opened fire at the army base may have been arguing with another soldier just before the shooting. Jenna Pittaway has the latest on yesterday's shooting.
This afternoon, military officials identified Specialist Ivan A. Lopez as the gunman responsible for killing 3 and wounding 16 at Fort Hood before shooting himself. Officials also said that Lopez had a history of psychiatric illness, even though he had no unusual incidents on his record. Texas Senator John Cornyn held a press conference today in Texas and emphasized the importance of identifying people who are genuine threats without stigmatizing those who aren't. Val Vincent Reyes is a retired lieutenant colonel who was deployed to Fort Hood after the first shooting there in 2009.
30% of the warfighters coming back from OIF and OIF have disability ratings, whether it's from injury or psychological injury. That's the highest that's ever been.
Officials are investigating whether an altercation occurred between Lopez and other soldiers right before the shooting. Soldiers with PTSD often have to relearn how to react in tense situations.
When the person sees that he or she is again confronted with a threat, the person will want to fight back. That conditioned response is that anger, irritation, you know, the generated sense of feeling that one is superhuman. That's where anger is associated with PTSD.
Reyes says most soldiers returning home just want to see their families and go back to normal life. But the military should consider a more extensive evaluation of their mental state before releasing them. Jenna Pittaway, Annenberg Radio News.
A small 3.2 earthquake gently shook Malibu this morning. The quake happened just after 10 and was centered a mile northwest of Leocorillo State Beach. And as for the weather, keep your coats on. It'll be mostly cloudy with an overnight low of 51 degrees. Tomorrow, expect a high of 68 degrees with a 10% chance of rain. Later on Annenberg Radio News, hear what people think about the trees being removed along the LAX Crenshaw Metro line. Now we continue our series looking at the people who make Los Angeles run, the night shift workers, the minimum wage employees, and the undocumented laborers. For the fourth story in the series, Danielle Tarasuk takes us to a trendy downtown nightclub. But we're not going to the dance floor, we're headed to the facilities.
While most people hear this at a bar on a Saturday night, Kim Tolston spends her nights listening to this. Tolston is a restroom attendant. Every weekend, she wears a bow tie, black slacks, and a perfectly pressed white button-down shirt. She stands in a corner and offers squirts of soap and hand towels. She arranges different perfumes, keeps cigarettes on hand, and has a wide variety of breath mints. Some people are grateful for her services.
Okay. I don't have any cash. I'm gonna go get cash real quick, and I'll be right back.
Okay. Are you okay? I'm
I'm Kim.
Thank you, Kim.
Oh, you are very, very welcome. So I hope you have a good time out there.
Others are annoyed or embarrassed to find her there.
Hi, how are you?
Hi,
Mom. Can I help you?
No, I can wash my hands, thank you.
Okay, you want to wash it? Okay, help yourself then. I'm sorry.
A bathroom attendant is an old-fashioned mark of luxury. Many people now are uncomfortable having a person stand in a restroom handing them towels. Some often just dash toward the door to avoid the entire exchange. Tolston has grown a thick skin as a result. But just a few months ago, she didn't even know what a bathroom attendant was.
I really felt it was more like a cleaning, you going into different restaurants and bars and cleaning or scrubbing, but it wasn't of that nature.
For Tolston, scrubbing toilets or handing people paper towels, it didn't matter. She was laid off from her job as a preschool teacher and was barely getting work as a substitute. Tolston was also recovering from a divorce that left her from driving a Mercedes-Benz to car repossession. She needed a job, and fast.
And I said, I'm going to have to go through the unemployment office and I'm going to have to reapply for unemployment. And that's going to take at least 3 to 4 weeks. And I said, okay, I need to at least have a way to keep gasoline in my car. I'm going to have to keep my cell phone running. And I cannot wait for unemployment to start dividing checks.
Her first bathroom attendant gig was at a Christmas party in a mansion at the top of a winding road in Benedict Canyon. But when she got there, it wasn't exactly what she expected.
I go inside and I'm like, wow, this is really beautiful. I said, they got waterfalls and you could look out through the whole city and they had snow bodying. So they had snow shipped in, they had the snowman. And I'm like, whoa, this is nice. So I'm like, oh, I wonder what their bathroom is gonna look like. So anyway, they escort me outdoors. They said, no, you'll be working out there. So I'm looking over there, I'm like, oh, the portables, okay.
Her total take that night in the luxury setting, $12. Since then, she mostly works at bars and nightclubs, where she has witnessed, well, quite a lot.
I know when they're about to throw up. It's like a woman knowing when they're going to give birth. I know instantly when they walk in, uh-oh, okay, they're sitting there in a stupor, or they up against the wall rocking back and forth. I did assist one woman and I, you know, kind of leaned her toward the toilet and I pulled her hair back in a band.
She's also seen some bizarre behavior among strangers.
One young girl came in and she was very upset. She said she had just lost her uncle. And she kept saying, oh, I'm so sorry. And she just boohooed and kept crying and kept crying. I said, it's going to be all right, you know.
It was not long after that another woman noticed and joined in. She was unhappy with her boyfriend and also began to cry. And soon after that, more women joined in.
They just kept crying for hours upon hours, and I lost all my service and my tips.
Tolston relies on tips. She makes on average about $60 per night, but that number can vary. Recently, Tolston was rehired as a long-term substitute teacher at Head Start, a publicly funded preschool for low-income families. Even though she has a full-time job again, she doesn't have the same benefits as a regular teacher.
It's just that I'm in the red right now, and I still have a lot of collections. I got still a lot of credit cards, bills.
Tolston rents 2 bedrooms in her house to help pay her mortgage. Some months, the only thing keeping gas in her car and food on the table are the bathroom tips. Danielle Tarasuk, Annenberg Radio News.
Another international best-selling book is getting the Hollywood treatment. Actually, the all-time best-selling book. Grace Lim has this review of Noah, a modern, big-budget retelling of the biblical ark builder.
It begins.
Noah, played by Russell Crowe, lives in a harsh, cruel world where men and monsters are equally evil.
Our family has a great task. We have to save the innocent.
As he sets out to accomplish this mission, a malicious and carnal leader named Tubal Cain threatens Noah's family and vows to take over the ark he is building. The vile Tubal Cain leads a band of dirty, long-haired thugs who rape and pillage everything in sight.
Kill Noah! We take the ark!
Visually, Noah looks like many other epic hero tales, like Crow's own gladiator. There's Crow with a manly beard and rusted clothes and boots on. There's a serenely beautiful wife, played by Jennifer Connelly, who soothes and mothers the burly husband and winsome children. So there's nothing visibly original about the film, even in the Aronofsky-esque creation sequence. Golden images representing Adam and Eve and a cartoonish snake reveal the story of the first sin. Black silhouetted figures against the background of a fiery sunset play out the first murder when Cain killed Abel. An unbelievably silly choice of the film was to invent giant rock creatures called the Watchers, who helped build the Ark and defend Noah in the last moments before the flood. Christian leaders have spoken out about the inaccuracies of the film's plot, including the Watchers and an obvious nod toward evolution during the creation scene. Aronofsky's vision of the Noah story is sometimes epic, sometimes silly, but thoroughly all out. Darren Aronofsky.
I was really focused on making this film available for believers as well as non-believers.
Aronofsky seems to defy genres with his film, pushing past religion to paint his own picture of what the Noah story is and means. Grace Lim, Annenberg Radio News.
Now it's time to hear the sounds of another place that's uniquely Los Angeles.
How are you doing? My name is Carl, and I've been at the Pacific Dining Car for 7 years now. It's exactly the same as the other places, except it's quieter, which means that everybody talks to each other.
I told you that I arrived home the other night from the pub, and I burst into the bedroom, and I said to the wife, "What do you want to do with this body of mine?" She looked up out of the bed, and she said, "Identify it."
You know, in the ever-changing quickness of everything else, you come in here and it's your oasis of quiet.
Your drink, man.
With cocktails and dirty jokes.
No, that's just for the ladies.
Sonic City!
Construction for the Crenshaw LAX metro line is underway, but the new landscape will have to clear trees for three underground stations. Resident and business owners along the Crenshaw corridor in South LA are hoping to keep what little greenery they have in their community. Stephanie Monty reports from the Park Mesa Heights neighborhood.
The new 8.5-mile Crenshaw LAX rail line will change the look of South LA. It's expected to bring new business and pedestrian traffic, but residents are worried about the trees that will be cut down. About 100 trees along a 2-mile stretch of Crenshaw Boulevard between Exposition and 48th Street will be removed to make room for the new train. Romel Pace sells shirts at the corner of Crenshaw and Slauson and says the trees need to stay.
Once the trees are removed, a number of things are going to happen. I think it's going to be slow on businesses, being that if you got a train coming through here, so that's something for businesses to have to think about.
Just in general, I believe that the trees should stay there because they're landmarks. They've been here for hundreds of years.
Ali, who didn't give his last name, owns the Serenity Plus gift shop on Crenshaw Boulevard. He is concerned that the removal of trees is going to be bad for business.
You know, it's great oxygen for the people. You know, it's landmarks here for Crenshaw Boulevard and everything. So I think they should kind of like work around it and stay where they're at.
Gary George is the conservation chair for LA Audubon Society. He says he supports the extension of public transportation to reduce greenhouse gas emissions that contribute to the climate change, but he's concerned about the tree removal.
All of Los Angeles needs more greenery. It's better for birds, better for people. It's going to cool us all down as the temperature gets hotter. Los Angeles, we have a saying, kill your lawn. So get rid of your lawn and plant some trees and native plants.
The project has just begun and will take approximately 5 years to complete. By the end of April, Metro and its contractors will begin excavation of the Crenshaw Expo Underground Station. In May, construction at the Crenshaw and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard Station will get started. Metro's website indicates the city will make the final decision on the number of trees to be removed, and phase one of the project will plant 2 young trees for each mature tree that is cut down. Residents and business owners along the Crenshaw Corridor in South LA just hope to keep what little greenery they have left in their community. Stephanie Monty, Annenberg Radio News.
The role of women in the TV industry is coming front and center tonight at USC. Women writers, producers, and showrunners will share their stories on a panel called Geek Speaks, The Women Who Make Television, as Sarah Zahedi has a preview of the event that will feature women from across the TV industry.
Our hope is to spend a little bit of time recognizing the phenomenal women who have successfully shattered through the glass ceiling and been able to carve out new pathways.
That's Francesca Smith. She is a moderator for tonight's event and a research associate with the Annenberg Innovation Lab. According to the most recent report by the Women's Media Center on the status of women in U.S. media, women make up only 28% of the workforce in primetime network TV entertainment shows during 2012 to 2013. This is just a 2% point increase from the year before. While men have long held creative control over the TV industry, the women speaking on tonight's panel are working to push the industry's focus towards stories told with a female perspective. These women will highlight the uphill struggle they face to gain entry into the male-dominated industry. Smith hopes these women will inspire the next generation of women wanting to work in media.
Being able to see really positive role models who have sort of managed to figure things out and navigate things and figured out the pitfalls and managed to come out on top anyway, that's really exciting.
The two-session event will explore these women's career paths and the content of the programs they work on. Sarah Zahedi, Annenberg Radio News.
Baseball fans will fill up Dodger Stadium tomorrow night for the team's first home game of the season. JJ Maldonado talked to one sports expert about what fans can expect from tomorrow's game.
LA Times sports writer Bill Shaken says fans have waited long enough for the return of the season.
Well, if you're a fan, you've been without it all winter. So here it is, and this is your first chance to see a game at Dodger Stadium, at least a game that counts, since October.
Shaken says pitcher Hyun-Jin Yoo is expected to pitch tomorrow's game. Pitchers Clayton Kershaw is healing from a back injury, and Brian Wilson an elbow injury.
He started the Sunday night game, the national televised North American opener in San Diego, had a great game that night, and the Dodgers certainly would look for him to deliver a similar performance on Friday.
Shaken says this season will be different than most. Expectations are higher.
Well, the Dodgers have invested more money in this year's team than any baseball team has invested ever in the history of Major League Baseball. So they certainly expect to win, and anything less than that would be a big disappointment.
The home opener is tomorrow night against the San Francisco Giants. JJ Maldonado, Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Camille Requiestas to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Hi, Camille.
Hi, Bryony. Hear from a Chilean USC student on how the massive earthquake is affecting his family back home. And USC Secret Society played a big prank this morning, the stunt that kept students waiting in line for hours. Be sure to tune in to ATVN on Trojan Vision at 6.
From Pinocchio to Jim Henson, puppetry is about breathing life into inanimate objects. And unbeknownst to many, LA has a rich history in the art form. This week, the LA Puppet Fest will bring together performances, education programs, and even live puppet karaoke to the streets of Los Angeles. Robert Ferreira is the festival's executive director.
These people need to shine. They need a light, and that's what I'm trying to do. So when I see these groups coming together and putting these wonderful shows together, I'm very, very happy.
LA Puppet Fest will last until April 13th. There are events planned in Santa Monica, West Los Angeles to Hollywood. Prices range from free to $25. That's it for this Thursday. We had help today from ATVN, Lenza Borgali, Stephanie Case, Sam Dawn, JJ Maldonado, Jenna Pittaway, Sarah Zahedi. Our production assistant is Lexi McAvinci. Graham Clark produces our arts and culture segment, and the newscast producer is Victor Figueroa. Our executive producer is Catherine Davis. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Bryony Ng.